From sports to leisure activities, from travel to dining out, from the neighbourhoods of Dublin to walks in the park. Dublin City FM.
The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green on Dublin City FM. Fridays, 3 p.m. The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
103.2 Dublin City FM. Did I say it'll grow on you?
No, you didn't, Brian.
I did. I said it twice in the intro. Hello, Peter Donegan.
Hello, Brian Green. How are you, my man?
I'm good.
Yep.
Did you have a good week?
I had an odd week. The weather outside was very frightful on Monday. I was cutting hedges in North County Dublin. I was in the middle of a hedge. And the hedge was being... Have you ever tried folding up a tent at 50 in the middle of 50-mile-an-hour winds?
No.
Well, have you ever tried folding sheets? No, you haven't. Okay, this is going nowhere. I was cutting a hedge, but as I was cutting, it was all tied together with ivy on the face of it. And the whole thing was being just literally dragged down the road. It was scary stuff.
You're a landscape gardener by profession.
By profession,
which
yes.
Qualifies you to be on this programme. It doesn't qualify me, well, my profession doesn't.
Not in the slightest.
But you just mentioned there, and this is just like a random question, right? You're based in North County Dublin.
Uh-huh.
And you were cutting a hedge.
Yes.
There must be thousands of miles of hedgerow in North County Dublin.
Yeah, they were just cutting it this week, actually, yeah, with the flail mowers. It's tractor-mounted. They have a big tractor-mounted machine, sits on the back of a tractor, and... It's called a flail mower. It's like a lawnmower on an extended arm that you might see from a transformer or something like
that. And
this.
What does the landscaper trade union think of such mechanicization of...
The landscaper's trade union?
Yeah.
I am the landscaper's trade union.
All right.
I think it's fine.
You're the shop steward, are you?
No unions in my shop.
But there must be a hell of a lot and... You know, who looks after it? Is it the locals? Is it the farmers?
No, it'd be subcontracted out. But as far as I'm aware, I'm open to correction on this, but it would be under the maintenance of, let's say, Fingal County Council, for example. But it's generally cut, as I said, with a John Deere-type tractor and an extended arm on the back. And it's like a lawnmower on a big extended arm. It just runs across the top and brings it down to level. But they look absolutely beautiful if you're heading from Swords through Ballyball, heading out towards Knoll. Take a look and see what you think. Yeah, lovely day's drive if you're out that direction.
Overkill for your standard garden hedge, though, is it?
Oh, totally, yeah. No, I mean, if you had an acre, it might be worthwhile, you know, asking the local guy to come in with it. But from my perspective, or for your normal domestic back garden, no, the only thing I'd say on hedge cutting is that there is a difference between your average electric hedge trimmers and what I would use, which is a hedge cutter, which you have witnessed.
Yes.
I say witnessed. He didn't help me cut his hedge.
I don't think I even looked, but I know you were there.
moving on to brighter pastures.
Yes, on today's programme we have part two in a running feature, an instalment on hard landscaping, and it's John from Atfar Construction, and this week we'll be covering garden walls, miniature walls.
Yeah, just a disclaimer of sorts on that. The idea and the intention was not to do two sessions of hard landscaping. However, when I spoke with John about it, he said, look, there's pretty much two things that you will need if you're going to do anything with concrete. One is you need to know how to lay a block. The other is you need to know how to mix concrete. If you can do that, you can do anything.
Well, we've mixed our concrete last week.
We mixed our concrete last week. This week it's laying the blocks, but it's important, and I get what he's saying. If you want to build a cloche, or you want to build a raised bed, or you want to build a little raised garden wall, and you want to do it out of something hard, you need to know how to do it. After that, every single thing seems to be the basis of this.
Also on today's programme, we will be going all trees, okay?
To soften the concrete.
We will be talking about Irish trees, and it's kind of a forerunner to next week, where we will have... John Houghton. John is of Forest Friends Ireland, and what would that be, Oscailige?
Pardon me?
What would Forest Friends be in Irish? Corja na Quille.
Na Cards and Aquila.
Yes. Forest Friends Ireland in with us next week as a guest to talk about trees and problems that, you know, tree lovers are, you know, campaigning about and, you know, interested about, and problems that they have in that space, and not just problems that they have, but all things trees, from John next week. So we'll be tipping on the subject of trees today, and we'll be doing a countdown of the top five native trees in Ireland, and then we will be finishing off with a discussion of more planting in September. But we did the bulbs last week, so we'll be talking about, you know, seeds and, oh no, trees. Planting trees, is it?
Seeds or trees? I'm not too sure. We'll see. Hey, speaking of tree lovers, hello, Andy Gaffney, our co-presenter from 3 weeks ago. He reckons the sod show needs more of him.
Does it?
He's just told me on Twitter.
Okay. Hello, Andy.
As, by the way, if you wish to get in touch, you can do as Andy did. You can use the hashtag sodshow, S-O-D-S-H-O-W. You can text us on 087-977-1032. You'll find the podcast and all of the links relevant to on blog.donaghanlandscaping.com, and you'll also find us later on in iTunes. Do you want to go to our first bit of audio?
Yeah, to our first piece of audio, and here is John from Atfar Construction. If you want to know how to build a garden wall, small garden wall in your garden, have a listen to this.
So I'm with John Farrell of Atfar Construction, and this week, part number two of the hard landscaping sessions. John, what have you got for me?
Well, this week, Peter, we're going to be talking about how to build a small wall that would be suitable for a planter area.
Like, let's say if you wanted to do a little raised bed, or you wanted to build yourself a garden cloche, this is the kind of stuff we're talking. We're not talking a garden wall 6 foot tall. We're talking something maybe 1-2 foot tall.
Yeah, three courses, which would be 675 millimetres, which would be approximately 2 foot tall.
So when you say three courses, you mean three blocks?
Three blocks. A block would be 9 inches high. So three of those equates to approximately 2 foot high.
Okay, so where do people start, John? What do they need to do this? What kind of tools are we talking?
Basically, obviously, your shovel, wheelbarrow, bucket for your water, trowel, spirit level, a lump hammer, and a line and pins.
And what's the first step that people need to take, John, to build a raised wall?
The first thing you need to do, Peter, is to mark out where you want your wall to go. Once you have your position of your wall, your next thing to do is to set out your foundation. Your foundation should be three times the thickness of your wall. So if you're building a block wall, you're building a block and edge, which means it's 4 inches wide or 100 millimetres, your foundation needs to be a minimum of 300 mil wide or 1 foot wide. So once you have that marked out, the next thing to establish is how deep you need to dig. So for a small wall, which is three courses high, I'd recommend you have a minimum of approximately 200 mil of concrete in your foundation. So your depth of dig should be approximately 300 millimetres. So I'm allowing for an extra 100 mil there, so that your foundation, the top of your foundation when it's poured, will be 100 mil lower than your ground level. After you're set out, you're ready to dig out your foundation. So, as I said, 300 mil is your depth of dig. Dig it out, and you're ready to start pouring your foundation. But before you pour, you need to establish your levels for your base. So for this, you need either metal bars or a few pieces of stakes of timbers. Start off in your corner and tap down the timber or the bar, and leave it so that it's 6 inches to 8 inches high. Once you have your first peg in, using your spirit level, level the rest of them across every foot and a half to 2 foot. Put in a bar or a piece of timber. This establishes your level, so you pour to the top of these then, so your foundation will be nice and level. Once you have that, your pegs in, you're ready to pour. You can mix your concrete in your barrel, or alternative, use the bigger area with your cement mixer. So once you have it mixed, pour it in, and screed it off with a piece of timber. You need to leave it then for at least a day to set before you can go on to the next stage, which is laying the blocks.
What's screeding, John, just for those who aren't aware?
Screeding is basically using a piece of timber just to level the top of the foundation.
This sounds like we're baking a cake, but after waiting one day, we then go to the block laying.
Correct. So once it's set sufficient, your next stage is to start on your wall. So as before, the thing to do first is to mark the position of your wall on your foundation. Your wall is going to be centred on your foundation. So mark with a line where your wall is going. Mix up your mortar. Put a good bed of mortar where your first block is going to go. Place your block and using your spirit level, level the block. Tap it down and level and plumb. And do the same on the opposite end of your foundation. So once you have your two corners set up, you can now use a string line between the blocks to run in the rest of the blocks.
String line, by the way, this is actually just a piece of string. This isn't a technical name for some fancy instrument.
No, basically it's just a line that's pulled between the two blocks to achieve a straight line. So once you've run in your first course, it's basically the same then for the next two courses. The only difference being is on your second course, you need to break the bond of the block. And by this, you start with a half a block or a half a brick instead of a full block.
You've staggered it.
Correct.
Excellent. Okay.
It's just to achieve strength in the wall.
And that's fairly much it?
That's the same procedure for the next two courses. That's fairly much it. The most important thing is on your corners, keep it plumb and level. And then when you run in with your string line, the blocks will be level.
Okay, so if you're building your own garden wall, or in fact if you're getting somebody else to build it for you, which is some people's preferred method, Brian, you now know the questions to ask. John Farrell, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Peter.
The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
That was John Farrell of Atfar Construction. For all thoughts on that, hard landscaping or other, you can contact us as always, hashtag Sodshow, or text us 087-977-1032. What did you think about John? You being the, as I found out last week, Brian, a man with previous civil type engineering experience to your background.
I totally agree with the method. I would just add one thing, and that is get your string out earlier and your pegs, and put your peg out your wall on mm-hmm. the earth where you're going to put it.
Yeah.
So that you can kind of say, right, and maybe leave it there for a couple of days and do nothing, which is suits me because that's the kind of gardener I am. And put the strings there and say, that's where my wall's going to be. You know, like visualize, this is marked out, this is where it's going to be. And then if after a couple of days you say, yeah, okay, I could, you know, that's where I want my wall to be. I'll be obstructed by the wall, or the wall will do this for me being in that space.
I knew a guy last year who built a wall out of cavity blocks, you know, the ones with the holes in them.
Yeah.
Rested the car keys on the wall. They accidentally, yeah, you can see where this is going. They accidentally fell. Now, it was four courses high, so a little bit above my waist height. The keys fell down. What did he do? Poured the concrete into the holes to reinforce it. Keys were somewhere at the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The next phone call was, honey, I'll be slightly delayed getting home. Not funny. Well, I had the same reaction as you, which was, yes, you're having a giraffe.
Replacement car keys can be over 100 quid.
So is taking down a wall and finding the car keys at the bottom.
Yes. Yeah. So either way, you lose 100 quid.
Yeah. 6 years ago, I spoke to a guy, and he'd actually done the same thing, except he did it with his telephone. Can you imagine the expression on his face, you know, when you do that thing? Can you ring my phone? And next minute you just see the wall mildly vibrating.
Archaeologists in a couple of thousand years
old. Oh, yes,
they'll
yes,
break
yes.
open a wall and find a Nokia 6210 somewhere.
Hey, give me a softer note on this, a more leafy green photosynthetic aspect to our show. John Houghton, who is he, Brian?
John Houghton is a good mate of mine from out Bayside way, and he presents the radio programme Enviro on Near FM on a Monday afternoon.
Ooh.
And I'm getting him to return a couple of favours, and he's going to come on the show next week. He's from Forest Friends Ireland as well. He's involved in that organisation.
Uh-huh.
And they are interested in preservation and all things trees in Ireland. And if you want to have any questions, let's put this out to the listeners and people on Twitter as well. Any questions about trees, give us a call, give us a tweet, give us an email. We have an email, do we? We're on the blog, you can contact us through that. Anything to do with trees, contact us, because next week we've got an expert on the subject who can answer any of your questions.
Well, we have an expert, as always, on the subject, but we've another expert.
We have a subject expert, as opposed to our esteemed colleague across the desk here. Mm-hmm. So just while we're looking at trees, I did ask him, what are the five most important trees in Ireland? And this isn't a list of what are the five most densely populated trees in the country, but it's from a point of view of biodiversity. What are the five most important to us? And I'm going to list them in reverse order, as top fives should be listed. And I'm told they're all hardwood trees, and that's interesting from the point of view that we don't need to have import of the wood that these trees give us if we had enough of the trees. And at number five is mountain ash.
Oh, that's the Sorbus occuparia, or Sorbus is the botanical Latin name.
Or the rowan tree.
Or the, yes, it's double known, yes.
So that's mountain ash, and that is fifth most important in John's list. Aspen is number four on the list.
The poplar. Yeah, the poplar. Well, from a domestic perspective, I think the variegated poplar was extremely popular around the, oh God, when I was back in college studying in Kilkenny. And I was working in a garden centre, and you could buy a variegated poplar at the time for about €3. And I think about 10 years later, I was being asked to remove most of those that were bought around that time, because they tended to, the roots tended to go for the pipes, the water pipes, wrap themselves around them. They were causing huge problems domestically.
As with everything, you'll notice that things have multiple names, and our first two trees we've mentioned there do have two or three names, as we've just seen, because they've all got a Latin equivalent as well. Just on the aspen versus poplar, is that sort of like a name, a common name in Ireland versus an Anglo sort of thing, or I'm just wondering?
Well, what I'd say to you is I remember being across in Osnabrück Botanical Gardens. They were celebrating 25 years, and the conversation I had with the guy who's responsible for plant selection for the botanic gardens in Osnabrück in Germany. We were talking, and there was no way in God's earth, if I had said to him poplar or aspen, he would have understood what I was talking about. So it is the name and the language that is spoken is botanical Latin for good reason. It's the reason why motor factor car parts have code numbers. So when you ring Germany, you say, I'm looking for a B67432, so that they know what you're talking about, and you order four of them. So it's hugely important from a gardener horticulturalist perspective, that when I ask for a plant, I get exactly what I'm looking for, because again, there are so many variations of the poplar itself now, for example.
Number three on the list is the ash tree.
The Fraxinus excelsior.
Ooh, give us that again.
Fraxinus excelsior.
Right, and number two on the list, importance based on importance in biodiversity, is the willow.
The willow tree, wowee. Yeah, I don't
Is that
know.
The weeping willow? Is that the kind of the...
Most noted for, yes.
The branches tend to bend down and curve towards the ground?
Yeah, although I do have a weeping ash myself.
Okay.
In my own garden, so yes, there you are. What's number one, Brian?
And number one, drum roll, is the oak.
Quercus.
It lives to 1,000 years, and it is native to Ireland, and it is the most important tree in terms of biodiversity that we have in this country. That list compiled by John Houghton of Forest Friends Ireland, and we'll have him on the show next week.
Hey, I did a blog post back in 2009 about Ireland's native trees, listed and described as how I titled it. Did you know when I put up the list of the entire of Ireland's native trees? Can't be any greater, they have to be native to Ireland or they're not. 21.4% of all people who voted picked the oak as their favourite tree.
Okay, well, let's go to our song of the week, and it's in keeping with the Sod Show. We've got a pun, we've got a song that's kind of related to what we're talking about.
What's the band?
The band, if you're a Cure head from the 80s, you'll like this band. They're the Cure.
The Grove and Clontarf.
And this is their classic, A Forest. Cure, A Forest. It's the Sod Show for the 9th of September. It's programme number 28 in the series.
Are we that old?
We are that old.
Wow.
And A Forest, Forest Friends, Ireland, next Friday on the Sod Show. To finish on the programme, in the last couple of minutes, we're talking about the garden never sleeps. It's never not planting time. Well, never nearly, but it's not at the moment. You can still be putting stuff in the ground. You can still be planting. What can we plant?
Hey, two things. Went out and bought seeds this week. Do you know how many seeds were in one of the packets? 220. That's not a quiz question, Brian. I could see you getting ready for that.
I was thinking.
But there was about 220, so three of us have chipped in together. We're divvying up the seeds between the three of us. And this week we bought broccoli, green magic, cabbage, pixie variety, onion, white Lisbon. We bought two varieties of radish, radish sparkler and purple plum. We also got broad bean, that's the meatier variety, and pea, I think it's juice provencal. And this weekend, I think we're getting some garlic sets and some onion sets that we're going to plant as well.
So you get 220, you're talking about that was a range of all of the lovely things you can eat mentioned there in the 220. And are they kind of...
Well, there might be 220 in a packet, but who wants 220 heads of, you know, broccoli, for example, is what I'd be saying to you. Not all in the one go. Not all in the one go. You might sow 7 or 15 or 20 or 30 even.
Yeah.
But 30's still a lot of heads of broccoli, you know. You'd be giving away, which is absolutely fine. But it also means in the space that I would have available for growing my own broccoli, it means I wouldn't be able to fit anything else in.
So in general, where do I put these? Do I put them in a pot, in the garden?
Two things I'd say to you. If you want to go out and give it a go, get yourself a handful of soil, a couple of seeds, use a yogurt pot. The Petitfalou ones, not that I eat them personally, but the Petitfalou ones are really, really good for doing that kind of thing, getting seeds started off. And then once you get an established plant, you plant it outside. The reason why you get it started off is because the stem and leaf get to about 2-3 inches tall, if you sow the seed directly, what happens is the weed seeds start to germinate at the exact same time as, let's say, your broccoli plant.
And they'll kill it.
Well, one is competing with the other for the same amount of nutrients and the same amount of soil, so you're better off to get it established, keep your beds weed-free, then plant it outside. But now is the time to do it. And in particular, what I would say is, if you want to grow your own onions, probably one of the easiest things to do, also the same family as the garlic, which is the allium, A-L-L-I-U-M.
But quick question, you do onion from seed, not from bulb.
You can do onion from seed and you can do it from set. So one looks like a miniature daffodil bulb. Oh, which is also onion family, as a by the way.
From set, I'd call that a bulb, but I would know.
The preferred method from my perspective, or the more successful method, is by set or by miniature bulb, as you would know it.
But you can do it from seed.
You can do it from seed.
Just take longer.
Takes a little bit longer, is what I'd say. But yeah, that's if you're doing anything this weekend. Start it on the kitchen window ledge, the balcony window ledge, apartment, back garden, wouldn't matter.
And you'll get yourself an onion, full size onion.
About the size of a tennis ball, Brian. Wow. Some of mine, well, my last crop are just coming through now to the end. Hey, that's our music.
Tastier and strong, yeah?
Tastier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, folks, that's it for another Sod Show. We'll talk to you next Friday live at 3 p.m. Take care. Find us on iTunes, on the blog, etc.
Take care. Good night.
Have a great weekend. Bye-bye. Bye.